Hi, my name is TJ Fittis.
And I'm Dan Erickson.
And you're listening to Season 1, Episode 10 of Crossing the Thames. This week, we discuss Spurs being Spursy again, Wenger's anticipated departure, and yes, we finally did it. After 9 episodes, we finally screwed up the recording of this podcast. So the fact that you can even listen at all is thanks to Mark Zuckerberg and his Facebook Live, which is probably still better than our normal sound quality.
So yeah, we hired a new social media manager, for those of you listening on the podcast. My beautiful wife, Destiny, so somehow roped her into doing it. She's probably going to be complaining about me the whole time. But
yeah. So TJ, I got something really cool. I had to tell you about it. And I meant to tell you about it before the podcast, but then it occurred to me right before that this would be a great intro conversation.
Okay.
So, for some people, this won't be as hilarious as it is for an American, but I've long since had this obsession. I like to be clean. Always. All over. And there's one thing that Americans that I think we do wrong.
I know where this is going. I can already tell.
If you want to clean your body, do you get into the shower, grab a roll of paper towels, and rub them all over, and then get out, put your clothes on, and go about the day?
Camping, maybe.
Maybe. But typically, you turn the water on, and you douse your body down. Of course, you use aids like soap and shampoo and whatnot. But yet, for some reason, the typical American goes poop and wipes with dry paper to clean up. Now, I've always kind of wanted to get, like, you know, man wipes. They make those, too.
You know what's actually more shocking about this topic? Is the fact that we haven't talked about poop sooner.
I know, with me in this podcast?
That's right. We're on episode 10, and this is the first time I think that I can think of where we're talking about poop.
Episode 10. We made it to double digits.
Yeah.
And we managed to have about 30 listens every so often. Actually, our numbers are going up. I'm pretty excited about that. But back to the poop, because the poop's important. So I bought a bidet attachment for my toilet. And I gotta tell you, it's heaven. Like, when you're all done, you just get this lovely stream, and it cleans, and things get... And then you just take a really small amount of toilet paper to dry up, and you're all done. I'm really afraid of my kids going in there just cranking it, water flying all over the bathroom. But
I've been really tempted to get one.
It's actually
awesome. Because, actually, growing up as a kid, my aunt had one, you know, growing up in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. And they're not, like, real popular over there, I don't think. But I do remember my aunt had one in one of the homes she lived in. And... yeah, it was cool. What the heck is that thing? My mom would be like, don't touch that!
Well, when I went
That's
to,
dirty! Don't touch it!
When I went to Dubai, they actually have, like, separate, like, bum cleaning stations. Like, you have a toilet, and then you move to this other thing with all sorts of spouts and levered thing or handled things. And this is just a simple attachment. You lift your toilet seat off, and then you put it back down and screw it on, and then you plumb it into your hose. And it just sprays.
Plumb it into your hose,
it gets pretty powerful. One time I accidentally, like, cranked it, and I'm like, oh! Anyhow.
I don't want to know what you do with that thing.
My bum is never.
Wait,
been
which bathroom is it in? Is it in your ensuite bathroom or the private bathroom?
It's in our master bathroom. We figured for guests, that might be a little.
I'll be like, I'm going to run home real quick. I don't want to use your bathroom now.
That said.
You're going to come home one of these days.
If I could get a soap attachment, I would feel
2 inches of water everywhere and Maggie saying, swimming!
Well, my two older kids thought it was funny, and
they'll know better than to touch it. But Maggie, she'll think that it's a toy.
Today, Bastion goes up to Maggie and says, "You want to see Daddy's new toilet attachment?"
Butt cleaner.
And my wife and I both jumped away. Bastion, don't tell her about it.
She's not supposed to know.
Yeah. Speaking of Bastion, I'm wearing. For those of you who watch on Facebook Live, I'm wearing the colors of my team, my winning team.
So far, no one's watching.
Nobody? Well, maybe they'll come back.
Tag Brad. Isn't Brad usually good for this?
It says I can share with friends who could watch this video.
That said she was going to share too, so maybe that's stopped.
Okay. Share. Right post. This is going to be really embarrassing to the people that will end up watching this. We're live.
Yeah, I can share it from here too. You might want to edit this part out of.
Nah, why not? Okay, so you can share. I'm going to keep talking about things like cleaning my bum. But anyhow, it was. We're done with the cleaning the bum. So I'm wearing my Bayern jersey today because it was too depressing to wear a Spurs jersey. And I actually haven't finished the Sounders game, but I figure nobody, if anybody happens to catch this from UK or anywhere else, nobody's going to give a rip about Sounders. So. I decided to go Bayern today because they've already clinched the title, unlike Spurs or Arsenal. And they managed to win. Oh gosh, I forget the score line. Anyhow, it was pretty resounding. I think it was like 3-0 or something.
I can't figure out how to share this.
Cool. Share your post.
I was going to share it. Yeah, I was going to share.
Okay, I just hit this little share at the bottom left.
You just hit the share button.
Yeah, and then it made me do a post, so I just said we're live or something like that.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't going to share to mine. It was going to share it to like.
So while you're distracted, what'd you do with my beer bottle? That was my problem.
I dumped it. Did you want? You still want that?
Well, I thought the bottle would be good for the live, but we're drinking. Today we're drinking.
We go digging through the trash.
Yeah, well, TJ digs through the trash. We're drinking an oatmeal stout from. You're gonna have to pick that up later. I wouldn't throw that. That's greasy, dude. Okay, there it goes. We're drinking an oatmeal stout from American Brewing Company, based out of Edmonds, Washington. TJ's gonna model that for the Facebook Live crowd. Their description is, our oatmeal stout pours jet black with a beige head, aromas of coffee and cocoa combined with flavors of roasted and caramel.
A beige head, huh?
Malts to make this thick and rich stout a perfect complement to any barbecue. We didn't eat barbecue, so.
I kind of wish that it was, though. Because I actually did think, man, we could really barbecue.
Some ribs. Some you're like eating sloppy.
They're not open today. They're not open Sundays.
A generous addition of oats to the brewing process give this beer a silky mouthfeel and decadent finish. So the bottle looks kind of like it's based out of like DC or something. It's very like American, which we thought would be fun if you're not in America. Seeing us being extra American here.
So yeah, our social media manager said that they can't hear very well, so.
Well, we're almost going to have to start this podcast over. There's so much, like, Facebook Live interruption.
Yeah.
So anyhow, my comments on this is it's decent. I wasn't overly excited by it. I was also drinking out of a fairly plasticky tasting plastic cup, so I just want to clarify that could have something to do with why I'm not.
American Brewing eats through plastic.
Yeah, so I gave it a 3-star rating. Where I'm wanting to rate my beers here on from 1 to 5 stars. There's very few that I'll ever get a 5-star from you, but this is somewhere in the middle. So, oh great, Jamie's on. So
it's not
TJ
showing on here. Oh, there are three.
All right. Move along, TJ.
Sorry. I get real caught up on this technology.
You're an Arsenal fan. You just want everybody to look at you. You could care less if you're actually putting out a good product.
Jerry says there's not enough cups in my head.
Not enough cups? TJ, give me your thoughts on the beer.
I don't like the molasses notes. As we said earlier, I did think that the... really thought that the molasses tones were pretty good. It would go well with barbecue. Yeah, I liked it. I like stouts, though. I like porters, so I've only recently learned to appreciate IPAs, so yeah.
So they describe it as having cocoa and coffee tones. I definitely tasted a little bit of the coffee tone in it.
Yeah, I got the coffee, too.
It's interesting, so. Yeah, so AmericanBrewing.com /tap actually gives you their beer list, but yeah, let's move on. And no, we are not paid to sponsor. Nobody pays us for anything. We just choose to sponsor them. We have to go buy the stinking beer. All right. Weekly Crossing time.
Oh, man, that's on here, too.
So, Spurs played United. An apology for anybody who may have listened to the last podcast or watched it. We left off the FA Cup game from the upcoming games. That would be on me.
So many Spurs fans missed that game because of that.
I doubt it. but we didn't even mention it. Obviously, it was the biggest of all the games, potentially. Ended up sucking. So United beat us 2-1. I thought Spurs...
Oh, we go to Man United. Oh, we go to Man United. Well, and it's hard for me because I hate Mourinho. So it's like, does my hatred of Mourinho outweigh my hatred of Spurs? And in this case, I think it's just great that you guys lost. Because now, I saw this thing on social media that between when you guys last won the FA Cup and today, you guys have won 0, and Wenger's won like 7.
FA Cups.
7 FA Cups. That's how long it's been.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to something just to counter that. That was saying that it was because of Wenger and the amount of times that Arsenal has won the FA Cup without any other kind of glory, that he's a maybe not the reason, but he's a large reason why the FA Cup's considered demonetized. So, I mean, you can look at that multiple directions.
I think that's right. Just people who are disappointed that they didn't get to win the FA Cup. And the other stat I saw, and I don't remember the specifics of it, I forgot to fact check it. It sounded a little I couldn't believe it when I read it, is that for the history of the EPL, Spurs' win total is less than Wenger's win total. And you have like an extra 10 years on or something. How crazy is that? The whole team, forever, you know.
I mean, and we all know Spurs hasn't been up to par for their
seasons
in the EPL.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I get that. That makes sense. But there's so much to talk about from this game other than the game. Like, as a Spurs fan, I really just don't want to talk about the game. We looked really good, and then we threw it away. That's basically how
It definitely seemed like we had some Spurs players listening to last week's podcast about being Spursy. They thought, well, gosh darn it, we're going to have to show Dan what a Spurs player is all about, being Spursy.
Yes, the Spurs team's listening to our podcast, DJ.
Hey, I'm just looking at the results speak for themselves. I mean, it's Manchester United, and you guys looked like you were going to just wallop them in the first 20 minutes when you scored. And I thought, man, it's not going to be a good day for United. And I thought, well, at least I could. The silver lining is Mourinho will have to stand there and take it. But then it started to kind of fall apart for you guys. You know, once they scored and then got the second, it was like, uh-oh. Because at that point, if there's one thing they know how to do, if there's one thing Manchester United and Mourinho knows how to do, it's not play football. It's just stand there in banks of four and say, you shall not pass.
Well, and that's, I mean, I have to give United credit. They actually did try to attack for a while. Once they had the second goal, though, that really went into a shell. You know, the alley goal, was it Eriksen? Man, I really should know these things a lot better before. Whoever put the cross in, put it on a dime.
It was Eriksen, yeah.
I thought it
was. Well, what was beautiful, too, is Davinson Sanchez played a great ball over the top.
Over the top to the right flank. And Ali's goal looked great. And as soon as that went in, I'm like, oh, man, this is it. We're gonna win the FA Cup this year. Yeah, that's the problem with being a Spurs or technically speaking anymore an Arsenal fan, is when you see the glory coming, you get excited only to find out that you shouldn't be. And I see our super fan has connected.
Yeah, Brad came on. He's got He says, my take on the weekend. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Brad's take on the weekend is that everyone is going to give us crap.
Us being Spurs fans.
Yeah. Well, and
everybody gives Arsenal fans crap anyhow.
Even if we won that FA Cup, it wouldn't take us to the next level. I'm not too bothered. And then he said for later in the podcast, Wenger had to go.
Yeah. So here's where I'll disagree with
that. Shocking original opinions there from Brad.
Yeah.
Finger had to go.
Really?
If you are on our Facebook page or you're not, join it. If you haven't already, there's a fun clip for anybody who's an EPL fan, basically of different teams giving their condolences to Arsenal for their loss, and it's pretty humorous. That said, I'm going to come back to, I think that Spurs need a trophy. And here's the thing. I think we're a good enough team. I think that we definitely can hang with the big boys anymore. But you need something to show when this current core eventually breaks apart, when Poch decides to go to Real Madrid like all good Spurs players, and hopefully not managers, but probably not managers do. We need something to show for this period. Now, hopefully we sustain this period for a long time and get many things, but we need to start picking up trophies, or else this is just a blip where Spurs talk about our glory days, but it's not glory days to anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you got a short window there, right? Or if you don't start winning trophies, then you guys will leave.
Yeah.
Your Dele Alli's here. I mean, Dele Alli and Eriksen could both leave this summer even, right? I mean, if Barca's like, hey, Iniesta is leaving, we've got an opening here, let's go for it. Which, I mean, I don't think they need him because they brought in Coutinho as their, you know, Coutinho's kind of their Iniesta replacement, but, you know, Eriksen would improve that team for sure, right? And Dele Alli, I mean, who knows what Real Madrid's going to do, so.
Yeah. So, at the game, going to kind of touching on a few podcasts ago, we were talking about the price increase for tickets, which of course doesn't affect us Americans a whole lot, but you and I were kind enough to give our very educated opinions on the matter. One of the groups of, one of the groups that represents the fan base organized a protest, and I think it was about 10 different signs throughout the stadium that said "Don't price me out" and had a pound and a euro symbol as part of the words "price me out."
Yeah.
And they held it up on the 22nd minute in the game. The problem with that, and I think it was to protest the price, which was, I'm trying to remember, I could be a little off on the details, but I'm pretty close. The price was about $20.
Sounds like you're being
Spursy. Being Spursy? Maybe. Yeah, I'm always.
And then the fans were being Spursy.
There's a reason.
So.
Wait, no, I'm a Bayern fan.
So actually, I was looking at it. So there's four stars in that crest. Is each one of those stars being 10 trophies?
I have.
Like 10 titles? It's probably.
It's Bayern, probably.
Shouldn't they have more stars?
I have no idea. I should probably. I follow the
Bundesliga. We need a German Brad. If there's a German Brad out there and you want to join, let us know. Educate us on how the Bundesliga works.
But
better, much better.
Here's the problem. So they hold up these signs at the, you know, whatever minute, the 22nd minute, I think it was. And one of the groups in particular, one of these 10 scattered signs, holds it up in front of some fans. And this is right after Manchester United put in their second goal. So, of course, everybody's emotions are pretty high. And it feels like there's maybe like just a, you know, upset because the goal went in. What was it? Spilt milk or whatever, you know, getting upset about something that you can't do anything about. And so the fans actually get upset with this group that's holding up these signs, and next thing you know, there's fighting within the Spurs fans. Which
the Arsenal fans will get upset, they just don't come to the games.
Well, Arsenal fans don't care enough. They're all fair-weather fans.
Some of them are. I would agree that some of them are. We'll get to that later.
If you're hearing, like, crying and laughing, there's a lot of noise outside, so our apologies.
Yeah, generally speaking, Camano Island is a sleepy retirement community, but apparently the old age pensioners are out here murdering each other. So something. I don't know what's
going on. Or the high school decided to go on a field trip to Camano on Sunday.
But Camano got their dates wrong. They're going to walk out today.
So, anyhow, that's an interesting story that comes from that. The protests, though, I mean, I was hearing that Manchester United's highest price tickets were like £978 a year. And they're talking about £2,200. So, I mean, this is like more than double United's highest tickets.
Yeah.
I can kind of get that. But anyhow, I just had to share that. We'll put a picture up when we put the post up on the site of this podcast so you guys can see the sign because it's
you
so
can see some of the Spurs artwork. How artistic the fans are with their
it's really
their
not
pound sign and their euro sign.
Yeah, they were feeling pretty proud of
like, you see, it looks like a bee. Yeah, sure.
So,
sure
TJ, where do you think Tottenham landed? Okay, so we're out of the FA Cup. All we have left is the league, and we don't really have much left. We're in the top four, unless we really just... Which right
you
now,
know,
we're
last time
feeling
you
kind of
won a trophy? Any trophy?
You want to go back to that?
I'm just saying. Do you know the last time it was? 2008, actually.
2008? Okay. I was thinking it was like 96 or something, but...
Since Wenger's become manager. So it's funny, as old as Wenger's up. It's like, since Wenger became manager, Spurs have sucked. Since Wenger's become manager, you guys have won two trophies, is what I read. Now, again, in fact, technically, this Brad's going to probably repeat it. You won't be like, oh, we won this trophy, we won that trophy. But what I read on Twitter, right, which is on Twitter, is probably true.
Twitter's always, it's like Wikipedia.
Yeah,
if you read it, then it's true.
Yeah. So the Carling Cup and the Worthington Cup, which I don't think is around anymore. I hadn't even heard of that for years. I think they did away with that years ago. I don't even remember what it was called.
The Worthington Cup?
The Worthington Cup, yeah.
Hmm. I don't know that I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, I think
it wasn't like a sponsor's name, Worthington Beans or something?
I think it's for maybe the Worthington Candies, but it is. It was an older cup, but it's like, if you have the FA Cup, then you've got the Carling Cup that no one cares about. Does anyone really even think, like, does anyone know about the Worthington
Cup? It's not the Carling Cup, isn't it? Isn't that the Carabao Cup now?
Yeah, it's the
Carabao Cup.
I hate when they do that. Do they have to sell everything?
Yes, they do.
I guess I play the communist socialist side, and you play the capitalist pig over here. So
not to that extent, but okay, yeah, sure.
There you go. Oink, oink. So yeah, as far as we're talking landing the table, I guess the podcast is totally landed flat at this point. People are like, "All right, I'm getting on."
This guy's boring.
Yeah, I mean, Brad hasn't said anything exciting yet, so I blame Brad. Really,
I think he just connected, left an opinion, and left.
Well, Brad's kind of your typical Spurs fair weather fan. He just, you know, he's gone already. So
I don't think Spurs are the fair weather fans. I think that's back on you guys.
I don't know. Brad talks.
Of course, I say that
while
I sit over
here
in my Bayern jersey.
He talks a lot about how great Spurs are, and it's like, well, when was the last time you won a trophy? Or even a big trophy. And at that point, it's like, Brad probably wasn't even alive last time he won a big trophy. Anyway, moving on. I think Tottenham are, you know, a shoe-in for fourth place, right? You got a game in hand, so by the time you guys play a week from tomorrow, you could be level with Liverpool in third place. So I don't think you guys have anything to worry about fourth place. You know, I don't know. What does your run-in look like the last four games of the league?
Oh, they're all easy games, I forget, but they're all teams we should beat. The hardest one is Leicester in the run-up. I think that's our very last game.
We should record that, keep that little snippet at the end of the season when you guys end up in, like, fifth or something. Be like, oh, they're all easy.
So here's yeah, I know, seriously. Well, especially after our draw.
Right? You just jinx yourself.
Yeah. So yeah, actually, we drew with Brighton on Tuesday. We did play another game other than FA Cup. We didn't put that in.
Well, no one really cares about the Spurs games anyway, Dan.
Okay. I think, just based on correspondence and conversation with fans, we at least have one more Spurs fan.
That's true. Our only fan is a Spurs fan. So the Arsenal fans are like,
man. And he's not really even a fan. He was just mocking us. I mean, that was the whole point.
I mean, if I went more kind of binger out with our rhetoric, we'd probably get more Arsenal fans. But because I'm a binger loyalist,
you're
probably an apologist. An apologist. I'm the unpopular group.
So
the cool kids are in the binger out.
I hate this whole hot take deal. Like, oh, I have a hot take, but I don't know what else to call it. So my hot take is that Spurs finish third. I think we're going to leapfrog, really? Potentially leapfrog Liverpool and United. Now, United will be harder because we're, six behind now? Maybe not. I think we have a chance of leapfrogging Liverpool. Huh. I think Liverpool puts it all in the Champions League and drops points in the league. Now, does it really matter in the end? I don't know. Is there extra money that goes to third place over fourth?
Well, you don't have to play the playoff, which is helpful.
Here. Look, I got it right here on my app. Liverpool is playing Stoke and then Chelsea. I think the Chelsea game is, it's at Stamford Bridge, so they have an away game against Chelsea. And then
that would be an interesting game.
They finish with the mighty Brighton and Hove Albion.
Oh, they got to play both of them.
Yeah.
Brighton and Hove Albion.
So, anyhow, that's my thought. I think Spurs somehow, it's not like magic, but I think we have the ability to capture third place if we don't screw it up from here on out.
Yeah.
So, last question before we move on to Arsenal games, DJ. I'm interested in your thought as a, I guess I can't call you a neutral, as a negative on the other side. So, obviously, Alderweireld's out, right? I mean, it seems pretty set that's the deal. Who else is leaving for greener pastures now that... I mean, I think that was one of the other things behind the trophy, is that would convince some of the players to stick around for more glory.
Yeah.
We didn't get a trophy.
You know, when I was watching the game, it's funny, you watch the game and you read what people think about it, and oftentimes what people say about it, I'm like, well, I didn't think that. I thought he did okay in that game.
Yeah,
you know?
I have this.
Like, when I was watching the game, I thought, you know, it kind of seems like Eric Dyer, you know, got a haircut, got a nice fresh haircut. Kind of seemed like Eric Dyer was kind of trying a little harder than normal. Right, playing in front of Mourinho. Right, there was a lot of links of Dyer
did really well,
going to Mourinho. Yeah, he had that one spell against Rashford in the second half, where like I thought Rashford's going to score this.
Right? Yeah, he got back on defense and has a good sliding.
It was a
challenge.
Great tackle. Yeah. But even his distribution and kind of just his kind of link play between defense and midfield. You know, he really is your third central defender, even though he's playing further forward. Guys like him are just so rare now. Right, and that's one of the reasons Arsenal have the problems they have, is we don't have anyone remotely like Dyer, you know. And you know, I think the popular names for possibly leaving the summer would be your Dele Alli's, your Eriksen's. You guys would really suffer if you lose one of those guys, but I think you might miss Dyer more than you think you would. And it's just funny, him playing in front of Mourinho. I just thought,
is it Mourinho like his uncle or something? He has some family connection to Mourinho.
Well, I do know that he grew up in Portugal. That's where he actually started his playing career, too. I'd be curious to know if he had some sort of familial contact with Mourinho, which would, you know, would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to spend the time on the podcast to look that up, but I remember there being, because they talked about it at the beginning of this season, how Mourinho was trying to woo him over to United.
Yep.
I think this is potentially Ali's last...
I can see that, too.
I mean, there's been enough speculation. I don't know if it's the right move for him to move to Madrid. I'm not making that claim. It may be, it may not. I would have to dissect that further. But I think that there's enough, you know, whether it's Madrid or PSG or even Bayern.
So Madrid or PSG, where do you see him fitting in, though? I mean, those teams are so stacked in those positions. It's like he moved there and what, sit on the bench? I mean, he's got a good thing going for him, you know, start for Spurs.
Well, honestly, I think he could fit into the Barca team. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I actually thought that.
Spurs to Barca seems to be like...
I was thinking, like, if you took Dele Alli and Eriksen and played them both a little deeper, they fit perfect with Barca.
Not Eriksen.
I'm just saying.
I think they could potentially be a different EPL team if Eriksen came.
They're both so effective in the different styles of play, and they're so complementary. It just reminds me so much of Xavi. Not that they're like Xavi and Iniesta, but they're like Xavi and Iniesta in the way that they're so dissimilar, but they so complementary.
Yeah, they have that.
And so I think, you know, Messi hasn't been right since Xavi left. And so,
well, in the Brighton game, I mean, this is what I was saying back towards the beginning of our podcasting, was everybody's talking about Ali having such a bad season this season for him. First off, his first season, he put in assists and goal numbers that I don't know how sustainable they would be for a young player. Mm. If so, then amazing. If not, that doesn't mean he's a bad player all of a sudden. Secondly, when you watch that Brighton and Hove game, it's obvious how much we missed his creativity in the front.
Yeah.
And it wasn't through goals and assists. It was through how he stretched the defense.
I think he's a lot of things that he doesn't get credit for. Sometimes it's not always about scoring goals or assists. You know, sometimes it's, you know, the pressure that he takes off the other guys, right? Does Son, for instance, have a season like he's having this year without Dele Alli? Because they both kind of hug that left side of the pitch, right? Does he play as well without Alli getting so much attention, right? And I think last year, you know, not that Alli was a surprise, but teams were starting to figure out, like, they're starting to figure out now how to make defend against him, where they're specifically targeting him. And so he needs, you know... It's pretty normal when you have these superstar guys that get so much attention that will start to kind of find different ways to play. And so there's like, you know, you have this massive season, then kind of a plateau season, then a massive season. Like, that's to be expected when you're at that level.
And I think my argument is I think this season he's been more massive than he was last season, because I think his value is understated. And
I agree with that completely. When I watch the game, I think...
freeing up the team.
Yeah, I think he almost makes more of an impact than Kane, right? And I think Kane will suffer if you guys lose Dele Alli.
Yeah.
Dele Alli is definitely one of those transcendent talents that I think, you know, he could easily be in the top three, you know, once, you know, Ronaldo's and Messi start to fall away. I think it'll be Dele Alli will be one of the top three, probably, or top five at least in the whole world. Pretty consistently challenging for the Ballon d'Or every year. Because I think he has that kind of the best description I've heard is that when he plays outside the box, he looks like, you know, maybe the best box-to-box midfielder in the world. And then when he's in the box, he looks like the best striker in the world. And it's that interesting combination, like it's just his body language and his movement, and, you know, his awareness of space and timing to get in the right positions for goals. Those are things that you can't teach. It's just natural raw talent. And so when a guy has talent like that, you have to think, you know, once he gets a little older, he gets a little stronger, he's only going to get better. He's only like 21 still. I mean, he's still really, really young.
Is he only 20? He might only be 20.
So that's insane.
He's super young. Yeah. So we got to move on to the Arsenal game, but I didn't even make a note for this, but I think we both agree, Kane, there's something still not right there.
He rushed back a little early just to try and, you know, make the most FA Cup. He wants to win something, you know.
And the fact that they're even playing him in a withdrawn forward role, maybe they're trying to roll the dice, but I feel like it's hurting the team, to be honest. And Kane's awesome. I think Kane playing back in his normal position, even at 80%, is an amazing, you know, it's what the team needs. But it's almost like they're trying to fit him in when he's not fitting in.
Yeah, I mean, the withdrawn role, I don't know that that's a conscious decision yet. I mean, sometimes that just happens.
No, it is. They talked about it after the Brighton game. Okay. How he actually, I listened, they did that post-game.
It's really being like a false nine, actually.
Well, he was saying that because Sonny was doing the running. So basically, it sounds like Kane can't do the running like he normally does. So he was using Son to do the running and then to play off of Son, which is how he got his goal in the Brighton game. Son went all the way to the baseline and then popped it back. What are you laughing at?
Brad.
Is he still talking? I don't see.
He just commented. That's a pretty typical Brad comment. He says, by the way, if you're going to pick a team shirt to wear, going by how much they've torn you a new arse, you know, over recent years. You couldn't pick a better shirt than Bayern.
Yeah, the 5-1 aggregate, 10-2.
I think the year before that it was like 8-1.
It was 5-1 twice over something. That's right. Yeah, they totally ripped. Thank you for noticing, Brad. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, let's move on. We're droning on.
Yeah, I mean, we're like half an hour. Halfway through this podcast, we haven't even talked about Banger or Arsenal.
There's something about Facebook Live that we need to figure out how to like not get so engrossed in what's going on with
it's
that.
It's so fun, though.
Yeah.
It's like giving... I love giving Brad's comments. Brad, if you can get some of your other fans, your other friends to follow us, that'd be appreciative.
Especially if they're engaging like you are. Okay. Arsenal actually had a pretty decent win. Albeit against the Hammers.
You know, I'm not going to say it was a pretty decent win.
The scoreline looks good.
I mean, you know, it was probably, I don't remember what time the goal was scored. It was probably the 60th minute or 70th minute. I looked over at my wife and said, you know, we beat this team last year 5-1. It's like, my, how far we've fallen. You know, and even last year we weren't great. So. Well,
and it's the mighty Hammers coached by David Moyes. I mean,
it was interesting.
Future Arsenal manager David Moyes.
Well, I remember watching it thinking, okay, Arsenal's problem, right? The way you beat Arsenal is you just don't play football. You play Mourinho, right? You put banks of four. You play people who don't normally play up front, like your best players. Maybe they don't normally play up front, but you just rather cram more left backs or more right backs into the team, trying to make it as compact and defensively as you can. And that's what they did, right? They've got Arnautovic, which maybe he's been playing more up front lately. I don't know. I don't follow West Ham, but he's playing up front, traditionally a left winger. They've got Fernandez kind of behind him, who I think I've heard of him before, but I don't even know what position he plays. So you've got a winger playing as a striker. You've got two left backs on one side and two right backs on the other. And it's like, they're just set up for a draw. You know, and when they got the goal, it was kind of like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? You know, and they honestly looked like the better team in the first half. You know, they had better attempts on, well, we had all the possession, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything, you know, for Arsenal. So I was getting a little worried, especially once I realized that Arnautovic was playing up front. I thought, man, they're just going to shut up shop. They're not going to, you know, where's Chicharito? Where's Carroll? Where's Lanzini? Lanzini, their best player, is not even on the field. It's pretty shocking, right? So, you know, of course, I think Ramsey gets the... Is it Ramsey? No, actually, it's before Ramsey gets the equalizer, we bring on Aubameyang, right? Well, at the same time we bring Aubameyang on, Moyes thinks, well, maybe I'll go for it. And brings on...
Two strikers, Chicharito and...
he brings on Lanzini and Chicharito. Yeah, so Lanzini is kind of your camp, right? So he can't play up front. I mean, he's going to sit in the hole behind the two strikers. And as soon as he did that, I thought, that's our chance. Well, now they're going to go for it. And as soon as they go for it, we are going to punish them.
Yeah. And immediately after they did that, they actually looked like they were going to punish you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then as soon as we get going
the other direction, you know... Because Ramsey was the only thing that was kind of the only guy that was really a bright spark throughout the whole game until Aubameyang came on, and Aubameyang kind of changed the dynamic as well. But the combination of Aubameyang, Ramsey doing his thing, and then Moyes making the changes that he made, you know, it completely changed the game, right? So at that point, you know, Ramsey plays in this cross for Aubameyang, everybody misses it, it goes in. That's the other thing, I don't know if you noticed, Joe Hart, you can hear him like on the television. He's just like, constantly yelling, you know. There's that scene from
in the top. No, it's not that scene. It happened like when he was with City.
Yeah, all
every
the time.
Pre-City game,
they were men of blame. Was making fun.
Come on, Max. Come on, guys.
Come on, Kevin. Keep assisting.
Pumping on the back of the head.
Yeah, it was. They were lining up for. I think it was a Xhaka free kick, and you can literally hear him. Like they're not zoning in on him. Like you know, like sometimes they have certain cameras with certain mics, and like you'll pick up some of the sound. Like it's they're way back. They're way, way, way back. And you can still hear Joe Hart yelling, Angelo! Angelo! You know, for, I guess Angelo and Albana, you know, the Hammers defender, it just cracks me up. Joe Hart, man, I think if nothing else.
Talk about a fall from grace, man.
I'd love for him to go to Arsenal. I think it would really, you know, add to the entertainment.
Maybe entertainment value. Spurs fan would like him at Arsenal.
This is how far we've come.
He went from being City's number one. He won a title with City.
More than one, I think. Couple. Yeah.
And England's number one to be basically a national joke, and he's maybe the starting keeper on the Hammers.
Well, I have a theory.
I think their other keeper is there.
I have a theory about this, and I think it's the same theory as what happened to Rooney.
Yeah.
All right.
England ruined him.
Yes.
Repeat that at the age of 27.
What happened was they both started losing their hair, but they wouldn't admit it. So if you look at
does Hart have plugs?
I don't know if he has plugs, but it's like Well, I would argue that he doesn't have looks, because it doesn't look like he's, like he hasn't embraced the fact that he's going bald. He just, like, continues to ignore it. You know what I mean? And so, anybody watching the game can see, you're like, oh my gosh, he just looks so terrible. Like, do something with that. So, I don't think he's dumb plugs either, but like,
he needs plugs.
To me, that's the commonality between the two of those. I don't know if that's the causation, but that's what I see. It's hair, right? And, you know, a man's hair might be greatly linked to their confidence, right? So, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm actually due for a haircut. This is pretty long for me.
It is pretty long for you, yeah.
I'm starting to actually look like I have
a haircut. You know, as long and thick as my hair is, I probably shouldn't rub it in. But I am getting some peaks here. A little bit.
You've got the silver thing going. I probably would, except I would have the silver, like, sparse comb over.
And I actually don't mind the silver, right? I think it's very distinguished. I not to toot my own horn, but the one thing that's a little weird, right? It looks like maybe I've got some sort of syndrome or something. For those of you who have syndrome, I'm not judging. Is there's, like, this one little patch here in the beard. I don't know if you got it in the character. There's just, like, this one little patch that's white in the beard.
Yeah.
And it's, like, all the white hair is right in one spot.
So it's like a nutrition deficiency.
Yeah, or like a wart or something. I don't know.
So, yeah.
So that's my match report, shall we call it. I don't necessarily give Aubameyang all the credit that everyone else is giving him. I give Moise the credit, because he could have just screwed the pooch with that game plan. I think that they would have got out of there with a 1-1 draw.
If Moise was good enough for United, he's good enough for Arsenal. I mentioned this while we were driving here.
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear that Moise comes to Arsenal.
Claudio Ranieri was in the stands watching the game, and the camera, you know, the NBC Sports for, you know, obviously if you're not in America, you're watching Sky or whatever else, but NBC Sports, I forget who was calling it. I don't think it was Arlo. Anyhow, whomever was calling it, they immediately start talking about how the managers are starting to circle in like vultures and let everybody know that they're available for the open position.
Well, I'll tell you, to kind of finish up the game before we move on to the Binger section. You know, I had to get up really, really early this morning to watch the game because it was on so early. And I mean,
recorded it.
I recorded it too. I had some work obligations this morning I had to go to. So, in order to get the game in and go to work, I didn't get up at 5:30 like everyone else did for the Arsenal game. I got up at 6:30 and watched it until I had to, you know, leave and everything.
Yeah.
But as soon as it came on, my heart sank because I realized, so there's a lot of bad news from this game, right? No Wilshere. How about an ankle injury?
Yeah.
We all know what that means.
Oh man, stop the record.
There's Wilshere who is unfit. He's got a knock or an injury, and it's like, you know, maybe a strain or something. And then there's Wilshere has an ankle injury. Yeah. We all know what that means. Well, it's his yearly ankle injury.
They were saying this was a couple days out, or a couple games out.
So. I don't know. I've lost all hope there. But then Ozil's sick again, right? I'm like, what in the world? Like, this is supposed to be like a dress rehearsal for the Europa League. If this is what we're going into with Atletico, we're going to get killed.
Well, they showed Cech up in the stands, too. Apparently, he's coming back from
the too. And actually, Ospina looked like one of the better guys out there.
Yeah, I actually think Ospina might be eclipsing Cech at this point. I think Cech is falling downhill pretty fast.
It's not like crazy here. But the thing that really was the last nail in the coffin for me, as the game started, I realized it's going to be an awful game for us, at least to watch, was Phil Neville was commentating. Every time he gets on there, it's like, you know what? You don't have to put Graham Lasso and Lee Dixon and Arlo all in the same game. You could give us a Lee Dixon or you could give us a Graham Lasso. Like, you don't have to hog all of them. Give us one of them. Don't let us have to be subjected to Phil Neville.
What stream were you watching?
It was NBC Sports.
And they had Phil Neville on NBC Sports?
Yeah.
When did they start doing that? I haven't.
They've had him for a couple. I've complained about it before.
I remember this now, and it just never occurred to me that I figured you were, you know, illegally streaming a Sky stream or something.
No, I don't do that, Dan.
Man, NBC got Phil Neville to do something.
Just saying.
They have a good cast. They
He's worse than Gary Neville. Yeah, like, why would you bring in Phil Neville? People? I mean, put Robbie Earl in there. Crying out loud. I'd rather have him, you know, bumbling over his words than Phil Neville. Which, no offense to you, Robbie. I actually really appreciate Robbie Earl's opinion. I just like to make fun of him sometimes.
So I came prepared in my jersey. I'm just quoting your wife. I came prepared in my jersey. Where's your team spirit at?
See, you actually made fun of this after we got on the air. I was like, oh, crap, I forgot to wear my jersey. So I got back kind of late from Seattle.
My team spirit. This is a Spurs Arsenal podcast.
You're wearing a Bayern. So this was my whole thing because of Binger leaving. I'll do it next week. I was going to wear my 2002 O2 sponsor retro jersey from 2002 from when I was a kid, which I can only imagine how that looked on me because now it just now fits. I'm much bigger than I was when I was in high school, so it probably looked like a tent, you know what I mean? And of course, all those jerseys ran big back in those days.
Plus, you're not a true Arsenal supporter unless we can make out the definition of your nipple through your jersey. Because Arsenal jerseys are all about skin tight.
Did you see the tweet from Men in Blazers about Alexis Sanchez in the Spurs United game?
No.
So he takes his shirt off. He's walking around at the end of the game, you know, he's just like, oh, you know.
He's showing off his Arsenal
jersey. Which actually reminds me, we don't have it in this podcast. We'll have to do it for next week. We're going to have a new segment around who has the worst haircut in EPL. Because Sanchez is in there. It's like the barber's going and then all of a sudden gets a phone call and leaves. And there's like half of his hair back here. It's still long. He's cut. And when he's running around, it's like just flopping around. It doesn't look like it's on purpose.
I don't think I noticed that.
Go back and watch it. Anyway, the Men in Blazers, he's walking around with his shirt on and he's like, and this is what Alexis used to look like when he played for Arsenal in their nipple tight shirts. I thought, yep, that's pretty much it.
The Men in Blazers are really stuck on nipples anyhow.
Yeah.
And on that note, leaving the nipples and the poo comment behind.
So, yeah, we have a new segment, a little mini segment.
It's only going to last
till the end of the season, unfortunately.
For 25 days at the most.
But we're calling it.
It's the final countdown. We're actually doing this.
Arsenal
fans, everybody. Arsenal fans.
I apologize for blowing out your speakers with all that awesomeness. Yeah, it's the final countdown. For those of you who were, like, I don't know, living in the Andromeda Galaxy somewhere, Wenger announced that he's going to step down at the end of the season. And I'm pretty sad about it, honestly. I'm really kind of, it's very, I don't want to say bittersweet because I just think it's bitter, right? I think the fans finally got to him. And you know what? This is a guy who is... Like, name one manager who has a bigger legacy at this point in their careers. Like, I mean, he's the most senior manager left in all of world football, right? Your Sir Alex Ferguson's have left, and, you know, I mean, who else is there?
I mean, this is a huge...
Bob Hall's basically retired.
Regardless of if you started north of the Thames or you came up and invaded our territory, this is a huge... I mean, it's a huge conversation. The longest tenured manager in EPL history. There was one other stat I heard that he was the whatever. Okay, so I killed that. Anyhow, obviously Wenger. There's more there than just the rivalry. You gotta respect him. He was a pretty classy dude. And I will say that the legacy is a bit tarnished. He probably should have did what Ferguson did and leave at a high instead of continue to hang on.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that, though, right? Yeah. Because, you know, what happens, you know, the real quick timeline is once you get past the Invincibles, that team starts to slowly dissipate by, say, 06, 07. 06 is kind of the last year for that team. When Henri leaves for Barcelona is when the team kind of dies, because at that point, Vieira had already left.
Yeah, so we're having a completely... We're talking 12 years ago. But when
to give a quick recap of that is, right, so at 06, they got to rebuild. By 08, 09, the team is looking like it could not only be perennial EPL title contenders, but European title contenders, because Fabregas and Van Persie look like potentially they're going to be the two best players in the world. And Samir Nasri comes through, I think, in 2010 or 2011, and he's looking really good, too. And then,
Manchester City, Samir Nasri?
Yeah.
Wherever else he's playing now.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably in, like, the Armenian
He's probably, I think he's in France.
Does he even still play anymore? But yeah, he was a very young talent when we had him. And was looking great. You know, that one year where the three of them were together. And the defense was still pretty solid. From the Invincible day. I think we saw Touré. That team was doing really, really great. And I think you go into the 2011 Carling Cup final against Birmingham City, we lose it. And we were like in the latter stages of all of the competitions, as well as challenging for the title. And we lost the Carling Cup, and we lose the FA Cup, and we kicked out of Champions League, and I think we finished like third or fourth or something. That's pretty much after the Carling Cup final, it was kind of this heartbreaking loss. The team just falls apart, right? And that summer, Cesc leaves, right? I think Samir Nasri might have left that same season.
You sold Van Persie to United.
Well, then you have the Van Persie era, right? Who Van Persie, all by himself, gets a couple of good years where he looks like he's going to win Arsenal the title, and then he goes to United and wins them a title, right? And of course, all through this time period, we're trying to pay off the Emirates, right? Which no one could have predicted the amount of money that was going to come from the TV contracts, right? Which kind of negates some of the impact, how great that work was that he did to move us to the Emirates, and how, you know, completely altering of our future history or our future for the team moving to the Emirates is going to be. You know, name another manager that's done that, right? It's just, he is the heart and soul of that team for the last 20 years, right? And then after that, Van Persie leaves, and then he completely rebuilds the team again with Ozil and Alexis. And, you know, barring a couple of really bad results that should not have happened at the end of, I think it's the 2016 season, we should have won the league, right? Leicester shouldn't have won. We should have won. That was our year to do it.
Well, we threw it away as well. We were ahead of you guys till the last game.
Yeah,
we were
first at Christmas that year. So we were still, you know, I'm not saying you guys weren't, but that was our year to win it, right? Ozil was firing all cylinders, Sanchez was firing all cylinders, there's no injuries, Cazorla was doing great, and then Cazorla gets injured. And then it's kind of a downhill from there. And so, you know, to me, I'm not crazy, right? Wenger has his own mistakes, right? We didn't replace Gilberto Silva from like 2006, 2007. That's a long time, right?
He was your CDM, right?
He's our CDM.
Yeah.
Never really replaced Vieira. I mean, I think Ramsey kind of fills the role a little bit, but, you know, no one's Vieira. There is no Vieira.
Yeah, you don't replace Vieira.
So, I think there's some definite mistakes there on the defensive side. I think I waited too long to get some help in the scouting side of things, right?
And that's where I agree with you. I just think that in the latter stages, maybe you and I diverge. So for those of you who may be listening to this who don't know a whole lot of Arsenal history, I actually don't either, but I know a little bit based on things I've read over the last few days. But apparently, Arsene Wenger, first off, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, how he built the training facilities.
When he came into the club in 96 or 97 or whatever it was, he shows up to the training ground and it's the training ground for like a local university in London. They don't even have a training ground. They train at a local university. And when the university team has to come in and there's a conflict, guess who has to leave and doesn't get to train? Arsenal Football Club. Professional football club doesn't have, so he built that. He brought in advanced nutrition analytics. He brought in advanced player analytics. When all of that kind of stuff.
And the team, when he took over from Graham, the team.
He actually became first.
The captain was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's why I recognize that name.
So still Arsenal, historically, were kind of like a slightly better version of Stoke City. Boring old Arsenal is what they were. No, honestly,
Stoke's a bunch of drunks at this point, though.
Well, I mean, the drunk part, you have to understand, historically, that's not that big a deal.
The team would go, they didn't have practice on Wednesday. I was hearing this. They didn't have practice on Wednesday. So a lot of the players, including the captain, would go to the bar Tuesday night and would come to practice drunk Thursday morning.
Yeah.
They'd spend all day Wednesday.
That's not that unusual for that time period in English football.
It's funny for for those of us in the modern era who look at sports teams and how finely tuned their bodies are. You know, they only eat so much protein, so much
Wenger's the one who blazed the trail with that.
Wenger's
the one that brought that into the EPL. He basically broke the mold of the EPL. The EPL would not be the world's greatest league today without Wenger.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, and I heard a clip of Ferguson talking about Wenger when he came in his first year, you know, berating him that he taught it, that he coached a year in the Japanese league and how his newfangled ideas. And he, you know, I think he came in for half a season and then the very next season he won the title. So, no, definitely, I mean, I'm giving props. Wenger definitely changed the game. But then it's like all the other teams caught up to him with the medicine, with yoga, with all these other things he was bringing in. And then kept going. And it almost feels like Arsene was so confident in where he was that he stayed in what used to be considered...
Everyone basically caught up to him.
And bypassed him. That's what I would argue.
Well, they bypassed him because of money, though, right? Because, you know, Abramovich comes in and spends a ton of cash.
Arsenal's got a ton of money if they
But they didn't until just recently. We didn't start spending big until just a couple of seasons ago.
That's probably...
Right? So, you know, we were talking about, you know, he was only successful in the first 10 years. Well, for most of the second 10 years, he had to get by on a shoestring budget. I saw a report out actually at the start of this week before he made the announcement where it showed the net spend for the last 22 years that Wenger's been a manager.
Yeah.
His net spend is like 8 million a season or something. Some insane amount. And so there's like them, and then like there's Liverpool at like 17 million a season or something. Isn't that spit? And during that time period, fourth place for almost the entire 22 years.
The fourth place, the coveted fourth place trophy.
Well, see, you make fun of that, but when we were getting fourth place, you guys were languishing in like 11th or something, right? So I will take fourth place over 11th all day long. And I will also say, if he had not done that, we probably wouldn't be where we're at today, because they used the Champions League's cash to help fund a lot of what they were doing.
It is just like a personal fan to put everything in perspective on where Tottenham is in the table. Just want to say that, because I don't think Spurs care that much. I mean, we like that Arsenal are behind us in the table, but we're not sitting here going, well, you were languishing down here while we were doing this, you know? We're
like, because we weren't languishing down there. We haven't languished in like...
You're languishing now.
It's only been two seasons.
You're not getting the Europa League.
Two seasons. How many years have you has Spurs languished? How many years have Spurs been outside the top four?
I'll give you. We're new to the snob arena, but we're there now. And it is what it is.
For now you are.
And we will.
Until your feeder club comes around and says, hey, Benzema's done, Ronaldo's done, we want a running back on bail, we'll just take half your team.
And we'll go out and buy young, promising prospects like Davinson Sanchez.
All right. I hear what you're saying. Right, I don't know that I agree with the argument.
Let's move on. So where does Wenger go from here? Do you think he's going to start managing another team?
I think he will, actually. I mean, he's had offers from just about every major team out there. PSG has been chasing him for years.
Yeah.
Real Madrid has chased him off and on, although I don't think he's going to go to Real Madrid. I think, if anything, I could see him. I think he'll keep coaching. It wouldn't surprise me if he did something wacky, like went back to Japan or went to China or something, you know, because I think for him, it's less about star power, it's less about money, and it's more about creating art with football.
Well, you know, I have the perfect fit for him. You're laughing, but I actually think it would be an amazing fit. It's a challenge for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way he can, I wouldn't call it redeem him. I don't think he needs to redeem himself, but it's a way he can kind of get back on the top of the game. And it's a need. The U.S. men's national team has no coach. And our program, as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot of areas that need to be
improved. Wait, what? What is it?
The U.S. men's national team.
U.S. men's national team.
Why is that funny?
What did you call
it? Why is that funny?
What did you call it earlier? The Aeneid?
The what?
You said the Aeneid. What do you mean?
I think you probably heard a couple. I probably might have sorted a couple words together.
Oh.
I drank some of this delicious beer. No, I'm just kidding. It has nothing to do with that. I don't know what you're talking about. But the U.S. men's national team. So the U.S. team. The national team. Like, yeah. The German national team. The English. The U.S. national team. But men. I'm specifying men, not women. And not boys or girls.
So the YSO or whatever
is not a YSO. No, that's just youth soccer.
He might go to that.
You're very strange. We need somebody who's going to take us. I mean, Klinsmann got fired and we replaced him with Bruce Arena. Okay,
I'm shocked that you guys did that.
I kind of am too, but whatever. And that didn't work out. And we actually didn't make the World Cup, which in our region is kind of unforgivable. Italy, I think, has more of an excuse for not making the World Cup than we.
I agree with you. I think that there's going to be a handful of national teams that are going to be killing each other to try and sign them after the World Cup. And I would love to see it happen, and I think it's probably what will happen is that he'll be the French national team manager.
Does France?
I think France and England will be the two that will be fighting for it, and I'd like to think that France will win.
I know Southgate's pretty... Okay.
Yeah, but this is how it goes for
you. So,
he won't be the manager this time next year.
I agree. I think Wenger will move on and manage somewhere. I would like him. I don't know if it's even a remote possibility, but he's the type of manager that the U.S. needs to get our program on track on the national level.
I don't still see it. I think it's, you're wishing.
You're probably
wishing.
Right. Oh, I totally wish.
I think Monaco's a bigger chance. PSG's a bigger chance. French national team, English national team. I mean,
some Chinese team, they'll probably pay him one last big paycheck before he...
It doesn't even need it, though. I was talking to Des about this earlier. I was like, okay, I think he's making like, what, 10, 12 million a year now? But he's been there for 22 years. So even if he was making like three or four in the first few years, if you average that out, he's probably made like $100 million just from his Arsenal contracts.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he has his master's in economics. He's like a trained economist.
Are you and Destiny talking kind of like me and Annette, where I start talking about football and she just sits there and...
Des is actually...
And we should, I know she's like watching.
We should have... So Destiny, for those of you who are coming in late, Destiny is our new social media manager that we hired. So she's doing a great job over here.
Unpaid intern.
Our fans are kind of like really like not doing great right now. We're not getting a whole lot of comments. I think Brad must be like,
actually Destiny is leaving all the social media. He's taking over
like, our social media. Minette usually will come in and say something. I say usually, we've only done two of these.
Yeah.
No
Brandon, no Brandon. Brother.
Yeah, let's see. Andrew? Let me see if I can hit up a few people.
Yeah, you hit up a few people. So while you do that, moving on here, because yeah, Banger's gonna probably manage again. I don't think he's done. Arsenal, where they go from here. So I was looking, ESPN released a list, which was from the bookies, so it wasn't their own list, but a list of the most potential managers in order of highest potential.
Yeah.
Ancelotti was first. Got the hugest kick out of number two. Number two is Brendan Rodgers, which I agree. I sent it to you, and you're like, I think he's underrated. I do think he's underrated.
I think he got an unfair shake at Liverpool, but he's just not good enough.
But yeah, and
there's no emotional. I think the fact that he managed Liverpool before, he's Liverpool's sloppy seconds.
Yeah, that's exactly.
We're getting Liverpool. Yeah, I don't want that. No.
I hear Harry Redknapp's ago. Actually, Harry Redknapp is. I was going to ask you about this. Are you familiar?
Harry Redknapp?
In Northern Ireland, there is a version of soccer that's slightly. It's like Gaelic football. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
It's like slightly different than. Harry Redknapp's taking a professional Gaelic football team.
Really?
Yeah, I heard this. I heard this on the Caught Offside podcast, so I'm assuming this is true. This is regurgitated from another podcast, but
yeah,
apparently he's taking over a Gaelic football team, which
that is shocking. Well, the way that you describe, for those who don't know, Gaelic football is you can handle the ball, and there's all these weird rules. I don't remember all the specifics of it. You can use your hands while you're playing football.
Nice.
That right there. It's like a cross between rugby. It's like a cross between rugby, American football, and soccer. Soccer, really? Because like they do this thing where when they're running, you know, like you're doing.
For those of you listening to the podcast, TJ's actually acting this out.
So when they're running, I can never figure it out. They made fun of me, so we didn't play it. But when they're running, there's like some sort of rule about when you're dribbling the ball. So like when you're doing keepy uppy, right? They'll catch the ball and then drop it and keep you up as they're running. Catch it. Like this kind of motion. Like this. And then they'll kind of hit it like volleyball. Pass it over to the next guy. And it's kind of like rugby rules. You hit it and
so it's got
it.
Volleyball in there too.
But then when you get to the end zone, right? There's a soccer goal. So a goalie.
Can you?
But above him. No, this is where it gets crazy, right? Above him. There's these two poles going up, like it's American football.
Like a field goal?
Yeah, like a field goal, yeah. Right? So if you score against the goalie, it's worth X number of points. And then if you score above, like it's like a touchdown, like a field goal in football, it's worth like a different set of points. So like they're trying to explain all this to me, and I'm just like, and Americans have complicated sports? What the heck is
this? So in Northern Ireland, they wanted a sport of their own, so they looked at all existing
well,
sports.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny, I bring this up, Brad's probably going to completely.
Did you run around with bats too and hit people?
Aussie rules is similar, I believe, to Irish football.
Aussie rules for.
There's an Aussie rules football.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They call it soccer too.
You're right. They call American.
They have a different football. It's like Irish football.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, they're using their hands and stuff, right? And of course, I mean, the Irish have all kinds of games. There's hurling, right? So a hurling bat is kind of like a hockey stick, like a field hockey stick, except it's not round. The hook on the end is not round. It's flat. And if you get hit by one of those things,
oh my gosh.
I think they play them on the same field that they do the Irish football because they've got the field holes and everything. It's really complicated. And then it's like this little hacky sack thing. And they're just like, you know, they'll take it like this and hit it. And it's just pandemonium. And I tried playing it and I watched, I got hit too many times with a bat.
Hockey?
Yeah, it's just very confusing. Yeah, it's like field hockey with a hacky sack and a lot of violence. Like, people get hurt, like really hurt playing these games. So, the people from the south of Ireland, you know, you don't want to play football. That's why, you know, your Shane Longs are out there torturing Arsenal. Any other time he plays anybody else, Shane Long for Southampton, he's terrible. He scored like two goals all season and one of them is against Arsenal. Because he gets out there and it's like he's playing hurling or something. And the Arsenal defenders are like, oh, you know, Messi, you know. Like, what is he doing?
We just spent like 15 minutes on something that's absolutely not in our notes, which is cool, but...
Well, this is also an extra long... This is a bumper podcast because of everything that happened. We're already at an hour.
We're already at an hour. We're already at an hour. So what do you... Okay, let's... We should move on, but I want to get your take. What, as an Arsenal fan, who are you hoping?
There's who I want, there's who my heart says, and there's who they're going to take, and who probably they should take.
Arsenal still some that fun city.
Well, actually, I heard someone say, mentioned, maybe it was this morning, I can't remember, Robbie Earl, one of the Robbies, I thought they mentioned maybe Conte as an option, which, I don't know, it would be really exciting. It'd be really, yeah, I think he's kind of like, you know, let's go home to Italy, this place sucks. I think it'll be an Ancelotti, right? Because I think he might feel like there's unfinished business to do in the English league. And Ancelotti, I was explaining to Brandon earlier, because, you know, he's a Real Madrid supporter. Just like, I can't even. Who picks Real Madrid as their first team? Like, somebody knows nothing about
football. Right, right. That's. But he actually, like.
Well, they win everything. I'll pick them.
He's taken the time to actually learn about them, though. Most people who follow Real Madrid don't know anything
fair
about
enough,
him.
Fair enough, yeah.
Other than Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, yeah, unless you live in Madrid, I think you have no right supporting Real Madrid. Anyway, you know, he knows Ancelotti from his time with Real Madrid. I'm like, oh. I made him stop what he was doing at work and say, go to his Wikipedia page and read off the titles this guy's won. I mean, yeah. He has maybe the longest CV of anybody that's still playing in terms of how many trophies they're still managing as far as how many
but
trophies.
Similar to Wenger, his CV is from, I mean, his last title was with Madrid, which was a while back. You know, he got fired from Bayern just
while there's a reason why he got the Bayern. There's a reason he got the Bayern job in the first place. I mean, he's won the EPL with Chelsea. He's won multiple titles in Serie A with more than one team.
Right.
You know, so he would be, I think, probably the best manager possible. And then you've got maybe Allegri, who, you know, rumor has he's going to leave Juve, which I would take Allegri if it meant that he was bringing in like Khedira or Pjanic or Dybala or.
Well, take Allegri
if you're bringing the Juve team with you. You know, I would love him for that, but unless he's bringing people with him, I could care less. So that's what I think is going to happen. It's going to be one of those guys because they're going to be, it's a well sought after position, right? I mean, there's lots of rumors about how Pep wanted the Arsenal job before he took the City job because stylistically, unless you're, you know, falling into the Mourinho camp, which, let's face it, nobody is anymore. You know, football is about winning. Football is about scoring goals and playing beautiful football. It's not about sneaking a goal and sitting back and saying, okay, let's stop playing, you know.
Yeah.
So, Arsenal's very attractive from a philosophical standpoint of how we play and how we've been built. It's in the DNA, and that all comes from Wenger. So, I think there's going to be a lot of big names that are after. But my heart says what I'd love to see, maybe after an Ancelotti's had a couple of seasons to maybe kind of some magic and go on somewhere else, is that Vieira come back?
Yeah, I was going to say, if I didn't care about Arsenal, I think Vieira isn't the now coach, although I think if they hired him now, it would be awesome. Give him a couple of years. Arsenal fans aren't very understanding, but neither are any other fans of any other team.
I don't know, man. Arsenal fans are... The Arsenal fans that have
to play, up with Wenger for like
they are ridiculous. No, but see, I don't agree with that, because I think a lot of the guys that are Wenger out guys, they didn't follow Arsenal before.
Yeah.
I don't think that they followed it that closely. They're the guys who got in and was like, Invincibles? They won the league for like without losing a game? I'm gonna follow Arsenal.
I don't know if that's true, but
that's my truth. That's my truth that I'm sharing and I'm holding on to it. Because all you bring her out guys, you can just suck it, okay? Just leave. The door's over there, leave. What you did to that man is ridiculous.
The romantic in me thinks that Vieira would be awesome because he's it's like Pep taking over Bayern. You would hope that he'd have the same type of success, right? But it's like a former or Bayern.
Didn't he win like two or three titles at Bayern?
I don't mean Bayern. I'm sorry. I mean Barcelona. It's their player that was bought into their philosophy. What are you? Hey,
your grandma.
Yeah, right. I see that.
Hi, Grom.
Hey. So Pep takes over Barca as a former Barca player, kind of already bought into the mindset of what Barcelona is about. Vieira.
It's kind of same as Zidane with Real.
Zidane and Real. Vieira, I don't know that he may, but I mean, he's done well here in MLS, which I realize MLS is the garbage league comparatively, but that's also, in my opinion, a manager who does well here is showing manager acumen, because one of the things MLS has that most leagues around the world do not have is absolute parity from top to bottom. The bottom teams are not much worse, if worse at all, than the top teams. It's often just the coaches. Well, and that's because the amount of money that's spent is controlled. You can't go and buy a big name player.
It's a simple American sports league.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can laugh about it, but I think that's one of the areas where MLS shines is coaches. I think that a coach who does well in MLS is a coach that has the potential to do well elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so I think Vieira, you know, maybe in the first season doesn't step up and isn't amazing, but I think he's young enough as a coach.
Well, I think the thing I like about it is they've done a good job creating a lot of structural placements, you know, whether it's Mislin Stott or whatever his name is the head scout, or San Leahy or everything. You know,
they just recently added those.
They brought in this whole like group, this dream team of behind the scenes guys. Whoever comes in as the manager, like these guys are going to help carry it forward for Binger. I mean, Binger was they did like four people's jobs essentially, right?
Yeah.
And so they brought in this team to help replace some of that off the field type stuff that Binger would do. And so if Yara can come in and doesn't have to be, you know, a pep party, well, it has to be in control of everything, right? Because he can cut his teeth on that. And I think maybe the thing Vieira has more than anybody else, right? And Ancelotti and Allegri, they're going to be like mercenaries. They're going to be like Conte. They're going to show up, they're going to manage for 3 years, and they're going to go on somewhere else.
They may get you a title, maybe.
Probably not.
That's the hope.
They might. It depends how much money we spend, I think. But the thing Vieira has that more than anybody else has, and it's the thing that's been missing since he left, is tremendous heart, right? The guy lived and breathed football, and he lived and breathed Arsenal.
Arsenal.
And, you know, Binger saved his career, right? Because he was kind of a prodigy talent that kind of fell away, was languishing on the bench in Milan. Binger brings him in, and almost immediately this guy turns into a world beater. And there hasn't been a player like him since he retired, right? So he was kind of the heart and soul of the Arsenal team, and that heart and soul has, you know, Fabregas never really replaced Vieira, even though the team was built around him, like the team was built around Vieira. And since then, we haven't had anybody like Vieira. And so I think they're bringing him back as a manager. I kind of wonder if he's going to come back in and be like, you know, I can take an El Nene and make him even better, right? I'm not saying he's going to be Vieira, but...
Or break his leg?
You said that. I don't know. It looked like maybe an ankle sprain.
He rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
But
it could be severe. He could be out 3 months with that.
Right? He couldn't get up. They had to stretcher him off. He had his shirt up over his face doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like he was just an absolute agony. So he probably snapped something. Right? I mean, and of course, it probably means he's going to miss the World Cup. Right? That's
probably where the agony came from the most. Yeah.
Which, yes, well, maybe the first time they've been at the World Cup ever. Egypt. You know,
Egypt.
I mean, they don't get there that often.
Oh, Nene. I didn't realize he was. That makes sense how you say that.
He played with Salah, actually.
And Bob Bradley is smiling and proud of his boys. You know, he was the Egyptian national coach for quite a few years.
Really?
Before he went to Swansea, that was his job.
That is shocking.
Go, Bob!
Yeah, good for Bob.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They probably, looked at him like he's, you know, a Martian or something.
We're probably, like, 20 minutes longer already than other podcasts.
We're a minute 8. Or an hour.
You always say minute 8.
The other one that you put in here, actually, after we talk about it, is Arteta. I think Arteta... I don't think Arteta's had enough time under Pep.
Did I put in Arteta? I think you did.
Oh, maybe I did.
Anyhow. Yeah.
Arteta would be another one that I would like, because I think if we just get any sort of Pep to rub off on this team...
He's an assistant coach there now.
Right? He's an assistant coach for Pep. And they played together at Barca.
That's right. He's at City. That's where I saw him.
Yeah. And he's a Barca product, right? He came through La Masia with Guardiola.
Okay.
So they go way back.
Okay, anyway, so future crossings, upcoming games. TJ, go ahead. You're going to go ahead and handle this because it's all you.
Yeah, so Spurs are taking the week off, apparently. They don't have their next game is a week from Monday, so they'll fall on our next podcast.
So our next podcast, we won't have any games to review for Spurs, but we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
So, you know, the big game released Thursday, April 26th at just after noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Against Atletico in the Emirates. And, you know, this West Ham game this weekend was supposed to be kind of a dress rehearsal for that. You know, that was one of the things we talked about.
4-1?
Well, yeah, but we can't bring on Aubameyang, right? It looks like Elneny's injured. You know, hopefully Ozil will be, you know, will feel like maybe he wants to leave the
house. Wilshere, Czech, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully
they were saying Czech might be back.
Yeah. That was the thing I was worried about, actually, watching the game, because there was earlier in the game today, too, Ramsey went down injured, too, and I was like, can't lose Ramsey, you know, we really need him for this game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. We're at home. My prediction is going to be a 2-2 thriller. That's my prediction. That or a 0-0.
Yeah, I was thinking 1-1. I think this is the home leg for Arsenal, and so I think at best you guys are going to pull off an even result. I do find it hard to believe that Atletico goes in and doesn't score.
Mm-hmm. Especially with our defense.
I would say at best for Arsenal a 1-1. Otherwise, I'm going to probably say maybe 2-1, 2-0 even to Atletico.
Yeah. The good news for Arsenal fans is Diego Costa will not be
Oh, yeah. He got injured.
He got injured. So we've got primarily Griezmann to worry about.
Which is a pretty big worry.
It's a pretty big worry, yeah, in his face that he's got. But Koscielny should be playing, and maybe he'll be up for it, right?
This game, in my opinion, decides the tie. I think if Arsenal fail to win, they won't win.
I think if we keep a clean sheet, I think we go through. If we don't keep a clean sheet...
That means that you have to either tie or beat them at home. At Athletic Stadium.
Yeah. Well, if we keep a clean sheet...
I guess if you score, keep a clean sheet, yeah.
If it's a 1-0 or a 2-0, I think we go through. Okay. It's the away goals that I think
kill us. You might be right. I think Athletic's got too much. I think you guys are going down, but...
My prediction is a 2-2 on Thursday, and then the following Thursday, it'll be 2-1 for Athletic.
Right,
and we'll get one goal at the end, it'll be kind of a consolation.
I gave like 3 predictions, so I'm going to go with 2-1 to
Athletic. Well, it could be 5-4, it could be 4-5.
Somebody's going to score.
Let's just need someone out there, Will will be right.
Okay, so the next game actually is Sunday. Manchester United at Old Trafford. And at this point, I'd be like, you know what, Reece Nelson, Joe Willock, you got any other brothers that want to play? Just bring them all out. Because you know what? Who cares?
Wait. It might actually matter because, I mean, I guess it depends on if you care about the Europa League. But Burnley's on your tail, aren't they?
I think we've got
Do you want to finish?
We've got about 4 points over.
Okay. Oh, and a game in hand.
Here's the thing. If the Athletic game, that's the thing. You want to probably keep the momentum going. But the fear is that you get injured, right? And Mourinho would be like, okay, Fellaini, go out there and break Ozil. Because I just want to see them suffer.
Do you remember that image that I sent you a while back? It's like this desert, barren desert land with this huge, like, tree with, like, a really bushy top. And then the caption below says, Fellaini, is that you? I get a kick out of it.
I thought I saw a story, a rumor, it's not in our notes, but that Fellaini was thinking about MLS.
Actually, I saw that, too. And honestly, I think he'd
probably do really well.
He'd be a good pickup for just about any team in MLS. I think
he's actually kind of an underrated player.
He's not too old yet. Is he like 29, 28, something like that?
Yeah, I'm surprised he's even looking at
MLS. Well, apparently he's refusing to re-sign a contract with
United. Probably not give him enough money.
So, well, or playtime. I mean, he's basically...
Mourinho likes him. Mourinho uses him more than
sort
I
thought. Mourinho kind of makes him his verbal punching bag, but then puts him in the game. Yeah. So,
he's like, forget about football. Just go in there and hurt people.
Yeah. Okay, so the United game... April 29th.
My prediction, I don't even know where it was. Honestly, I don't care. I just could care less about this game. Honestly.
So it's April 29th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. That's Sunday, April 29th. 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So your prediction?
I mean, I'd like to get revenge, right? Because I think we should have beat them in the last game against them this season. And they got a goal. And then we were pressing. They got another goal. And at that point, it was like, I mean, that's what happened. They get an early goal, you're done. That's what they did to you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't even know. I'm just gonna throw out a 2-1 to the Arsenal just because they're my guys, and it's not based on any logic. It's just
fun. I'm actually thinking exact same score as previously, 2-1 to United, and Jack Wilshere is put into this game.
He's gonna get a fight with
Fellaini. It's his first game back. Yeah. He gets in, and then he's out for the rest of the season and the beginning of next season.
That's
my prediction. So.
I thought he might have better hurry up and sign that contract. He's going to get in with anybody next year.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, no Spurs games to talk about until Monday. So we'll kind of preview that on the next podcast, assuming we make time right.
Yeah.
So PFA winners were announced. I didn't actually know this. You told me this right before the podcast. So
Destiny says, TJ, you play football in your socks and sandals? I guess they saw I was wearing my socks and sandals.
You were doing the whole Aussie football thing. Yeah, so the PFA winners.
Just announced today. It's funny to me that they do this, actually. The thing I don't get, and I think about this every single season, the season's not over. Right?
Yeah, but there's like
what if Salah gets injured and Kane just goes like full nuts? There's
like 4 quadruple goals.
Yeah, it gets like I don't know, 6 hat-tricks in 4 games or something. I mean, would that change the narrative? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, they do this every year. It's like, this season's not over. You gotta finish the season first, don't you?
Speaking of Kane, this is off subject, but I was reading, there were some tweets. It was like, United win 2-1, Kane still trying to claim all 3 goals.
Actually, I saw an Aubameyang one where he commented because Ramsey scored the goal, and it was meant to be a cross for him, and then Hart just messed
up. Yeah, I saw
it. It was in an Aubameyang tweets out. Also, I'm going to try to claim Ramsey's goal from today. he's got a good sense of humor, that guy.
Anyhow, so yeah, so Salah, I don't think that anybody was too surprised. The only option would have been De Bruyne.
Yeah.
I was surprised at Sané only because I just didn't realize he fit the young player. But yeah, he's young,
19 or 20.
I think Ali is severely underrated this year for some reason. He's been overrated. Last year I feel he was overrated. This year I feel he's
well, it's kind of like he won the last 2 years in a row, so it's like you don't give it to him again.
But if he did get it again, that would be...
Well, I just don't think he's the best young player.
No, I agree. I think Sané showed up.
And I think as true... It's kind of say the true young player of the year. The reason I say that is Harry Kane's in the shortlist.
Yeah.
Why is he in the shortlist? He's turning 25 in July. They need to change some of those rules, right? I think Sterling is another example of this. I think he's turning 24 this year. He should not be in that list. But if he is, to me, Sterling should get young player of the year. Because I think he's had
a phenomenal start.
I think he got injured. Petered out. He got injured and he lost a little bit of time. But he's still... I don't think that they would have won the title as convincingly without him.
Maybe. I could give you that. But I also think Sané. I think Sané could the same could be said about him.
Yeah, I hear it. You, there's an argument there. It's hard to choose between the two.
The reality of City is you could look at City and give major awards to every single player, with the exception of maybe a couple of defenders. And even then, they would have like most improved awards because none of their defenders... Up until this year, did anybody think they were that great except maybe...
But do you need to defend when you're up 4-0 by halftime? It's like the other team's like, well, forget it. Why are you going out?
The attacking's the best form of defense, right?
I guess so. Well, that was Vickers' philosophy, but look where that got him. Yeah.
Speaking of, you and I need some FIFA time. We talked about like live streaming a FIFA or us playing FIFA, but I don't know
if
that
we're exciting enough. Yeah. If you want to get beat.
Actually, you probably will.
I've got a Aubameyang now. Which in the world of FIFA, it's like...
Well, the great thing about FIFA is all of your injured players are now all of a sudden available.
Yeah, so yeah. Gazorla back.
Oh, that's true. You do still. Well, and if you haven't updated, you could still have Giroud while you're at it too.
Oh.
He's scoring goals all over the place for Chelsea.
It breaks my heart, actually. I watched this compilation of Arsenal goals, and Giroud was in there, Walcott was in there, and it kind of just took me back to like.
And Walcott,
it's just sad, man.
Walcott,
there's been a lot of big changes for me this year. A lot of big changes. I had to get a new truck.
Had to.
Wenger's leaving. We lost Giroud and Walcott.
So this is the year where everything gets better.
I don't know about that, man. It's bittersweet. There's some other major thing that happened this year, too. It was just like, I feel like I'm giving up. It's like, life's not the same anymore.
Well, that's because you're not been in the Champions League for 2 years in a row now. After, what, 20-something years in the Champions League?
Man.
So now officially a second year, well... Not officially, but mathematically, nearly impossible that you guys would get into the Champions League at this point.
We have to win. We have to beat the player. Which, you know, a couple of years ago, I said, yeah, I think we're the favorites.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you do get there. I don't know if we ever mentioned that. We had that discussion.
Brad was convinced that you guys still get through, but yeah, I never researched it.
Yeah, he's right, because United is in the Champions League this year, was, by virtue of winning Europa League. They didn't knock anybody out. Anyhow, that said, it definitely, we just didn't think about United, which was obviously a glaring example right then and there.
So, well, we are,
if you're still
hour
listening,
19 in, if you're still listening, gold star for you. Let us know what you think about the happenings this week. It's kind of a busy week, you know, Wenger announcing that he was leaving. I guess it's not really that surprising for a lot of people, especially the Spurs fans. Actually, one question I had for you about the Wenger leaving. We didn't spend as much time on Wenger leaving because, well, I think we'll talk about it more in the coming weeks. But are you, as a Spurs fan, excited about that or worried about that?
If we put on my lover of football hat, I'm sad about that because I think Wenger is definitely, I mean, he was a visionary and a revolutionary.
Paul Merson says that we should name the stadium. I agree with him, actually.
Yeah, but. Emirates pays you money, so Wenger might.
The Emirates Arsenal Wenger Stadium. Just throw them in there.
As a Spurs fan, I'm kind of indifferent. I mean, it could go either way, right? If Ancelotti comes in and wins you guys a title, then yeah.
That's kind of the point of the question. One of those things where it's like, do you admit that Wenger was a good manager, or do you admit that, oh, now we're worried because they're going to be better? Like, it's a good question. You know, how do you know? How do you know what's going to happen?
I do think that with Wenger, it's been degrading. And I don't know if that's entirely on him.
I blame the fans for that, honestly.
It's hard to know what's going on.
I blame the fans and the players.
But that said, I think if he stayed, you guys wouldn't be getting better. Unless you went and spent, you know, Manchester United, Chelsea, Man City amounts of money.
Oh, you mean like the kind of money that everybody else spends?
PSG money? Which is ridiculous.
Nobody spends PSG.
What is wrong with PSG?
222 on Neymar and another 150 on the Messi.
Did you hear that Neymar was playing poker at his home in Brazil when PSG won the title for the league? And he didn't even call to congratulate anybody or anything. And pretty much everybody's now starting to say that he's going to be gone, that he won't be there.
Yeah, I heard a rumor of going to Real Madrid.
Their loss, yeah. Madrid would be an interesting one, being that he was.
I also don't think they need him. I think he. And we're way off topic now, but yeah. I think he hampers Mbappe. But he's playing in Mbappe's position.
So
Mbappe could be better than him.
We got to wrap up. So if you guys are still listening, just so you know, we're working on audio quality. We actually got a second mic, but apparently
we have three mics.
I put it away. We got a second one exactly like this one, but apparently the mics don't work together on the same.
If they're
the exact same model. So I can send it in and get it reprogrammed. We're going to do that. So maybe another podcast or two, but hang in there. We're working on that. We've literally got one live viewer on Facebook. Awesome. that said, listen to our podcast on your
Facebook. Is it your grandma?
It could very well be.
Yeah, you always get on your grandma.
My
grandma will watch too, but she's dead. And that's all we wrote, folks. Good night.
Thanks for listening.